More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, a little help for my friends. Are you tired of trying to help someone who won't help themselves? Are your efforts to be helpful not working out? We'll show you how to be there for others who are struggling without burning out in the process. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, a little help for my friends. We're talking about those times when we try to be helpful to others and it just isn't working out like we planned. You know, either that person doesn't take the advice that we're giving, or they get defensive and hostile toward us for trying to help, or maybe it just makes things worse. The fact is, we know that we're called to be generous to others, to try to be helpful with the gifts that God's given us, but it's not always as straightforward as we'd like it to be. So if you are having a hard time being helpful to the people that you care about in ways that are actually helpful, let us help. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
You make some excellent points on what can go wrong on that other person's side, the side that the person that we're trying to help can put back at us. But when I think about it, I also think of those people who we're helping them, and then we're helping them, and then we're still helping them because they're not picking up the ball, they're not running with it, or perhaps they really can't. And we're getting completely burned out because we feel like God has put this person in my life, given me this responsibility, in quotes, and now I am just a mere cinder of my former self because I'm giving and giving and helping and not even able to take care of myself. So there's a myriad of ways that when we are trying to help someone, which again, we are called to be there for each other and to help one another out. Charity is our calling. But when done in a way that something is off, not in right order, it can be difficult or even destructive for them or for us or for both or for the relationship. It's complicated.
877-573-7825. Call up and tell us, are you trying to help someone you care about, only to find that the situation it doesn't improve, or they're getting defensive, or things are actually getting worse? How can you convince someone to accept your help or guidance, and should you try? Or how do you know when it's time to step back? How can you deal with the frustration you feel when your efforts to help others really aren't working out the way you thought they would? Let us help you find ways to help others that are helpful. 877-573-7825. You know, I have to say, as you know, a professional helping person, this is something that we all really have to learn. I mean, and whether you're a counselor or a teacher or a parent or
a
really
nurse,
anybody,
a doctor, it can really apply to some people more than others. But as you said, everybody is in that position occasionally.
And it's very easy, you know, especially in kind of my line of work, our line of work as you know, counselors and coaches, to kind of take on the emotional burden of the people that you're trying to help. And you know, on some level, you need to do a little bit of that, at least, to be able to convey compassion and empathy for what a person is going through. But you also have to learn where you end and they begin, because it's very easy to start working harder on another person's problems than they are, and that's where trouble comes in. Because we should always be prepared to help others and work hard to help others, but we should also be careful of working harder on another person's problems than they are, because at that point, they start leaning so heavily on us that they don't do their part, and then the problem never gets solved, and we end up having to carry it entirely. And it's a balancing act. There aren't specific, a recipe that you can tell everybody this is what you do to make sure that doesn't happen. But there are signs to look for that help you know whether you're providing the right amount of help or the right kind of help to enable the person to really eventually stand on their own. And so let's talk about how to make that happen for you today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Of course, every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And, if you're wondering, well, how could some theology possibly help me know how to be actually helpful to the people I care about? Well, it's a fair question, but the good news is it can actually help a lot. Because St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked an even bigger question. He said, if we took everything God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation, history, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for leading a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships? And his answer to that question became what people now call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that it is not enough to want to help someone. We have to help responsibly, making sure that whatever we do supports them in being their best selves. Okay, think of a good doctor. A doctor who genuinely cares about your well-being, which won't just do something, just anything, when you're sick. No, they diagnose first, and then they prescribe. Because giving the wrong medicine, even with the best intentions, is still harmful.
Well, that same principle applies to how we help the people in our lives. When our attempts to support someone aren't working, maybe because they pull away or the situation stays stuck or gets worse, that's really important feedback. It's an invitation to stop doing what we're doing, to step back and honestly ask, is what I'm doing actually bringing out the best in this person? Or am I just doing something so that I can feel like I tried? And, it's easy to confuse our need to feel helpful with doing something that's genuinely helpful. Mm-hmm. The theology of the body calls us higher than that. But true self-giving isn't about relieving our own anxiety. It's about serving the real good of the other person.
So what do we do when our efforts aren't landing correctly? Well, the theology of the body counsels us to be receptive, stopping what we're doing, quieting our hearts and minds, and listening to what the Holy Spirit is telling us in the moment. Receptivity isn't passivity. It's the capacity to stop imposing our agenda and open ourselves to what God might actually be asking of us.
When our efforts to help someone we care about aren't working, taking a moment to offer this simple prayer can really reorient everything for us. Lord, teach me how to respond to this person in a way that will bring out the best in them. And then we can reflect and act accordingly. If we can take that approach, it moves us away from well-intentioned interference and enables us to actually engage in genuinely loving, responsible accompaniment, which is what the people in our lives truly need. Okay, so those are some basic principles to keep in mind as you're trying to help the people in your life. But sometimes it's hard to apply those things when things get complicated. So let us help you find ways to help others helpfully. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, you remind us that it is our privilege and honor to be able to use the gifts you've given us to be a blessing to others, to help others in their struggle, and to bear each other's burdens so that we can be more like you. And yet, it's often difficult to know how to be helpful in ways that are actually helpful. And so, Lord, we bring to you those people that we care about, those people who are on our hearts, who we would like to help in some way, but are struggling to know how to be there for them. Give us the wisdom that we need to know how to respond to their suffering and their struggles in ways that will support them in being their best selves, so that we can have healthy relationships with them that bear good fruit and build your kingdom in all we do. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled A Little Help for My Friends, as we talk about those times when we're trying to help someone we care about, but it's not quite going according to plan. If there's somebody that you'd like to help and you're not sure what to do to actually be helpful, let's talk it out at 877-573-7825. Or if your efforts to help others are just producing more frustration in you, let's talk about that too. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Anne, who's listening to EWTN Radio in South Carolina.
Hi, Anne. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Thank you. I have a sister. She's 72 years old, and she's bipolar. She's making very poor financial decisions and life decisions in general. And I try to tell her, you know, not to do these things, but she doesn't take my advice, and she gets mad at me, and I get frustrated. She's actually given $10,000 to a scammer who she thought it was a man who was in love with her. And of course, we all tried to tell her, you know, he's a scammer, don't do that, but she did it anyways, and she's still meeting men online, and, you know, they're all scammers. I'm not saying every man online is a scammer.
No, I understand what you're saying.
But she's drawing that to her while she's dealing with, you know, her mental illness.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a couple questions here, Anne. First of all, how close do you two live to each other? How much are you in her life?
I live in another state, so
okay.
We're far away.
And is there anybody that in your family life that's close enough to her that when maybe she's in a more balanced place could sit down with her and maybe a financial advisor to get some of her money moved into accounts that she can't just access readily and give away when she's having a more manic moment? Or is she just completely in charge of her life? Nobody can influence her. We kind of need to know what the input is from other people here.
Right. She says it's her money, and nobody can tell her what to do with it. And if we try to tell her that she's not doing the right thing with her money, she says we're judging her.
Okay. Yeah, and I mean, you know, technically, she's right, even though she's not using it well and not exercising good responsibility and stewardship. The problem is, when we give advice to somebody who's not ready to receive it, it actually motivates them sometimes to do the thing that we don't want them to do, just so they can prove to us that they have efficacy. You know, it's like, you can't tell me what to do. I'm an adult, and I'm going to just do what I want. And it ends up, you know, our advice ends up pushing them into the decision that we don't want them to make. I'm not saying that we're responsible for that. I'm just saying that sometimes unconsciously, the person we're trying to help, just to spite us, you know, will be more likely to do the thing that we're asking them not to do to prove their independence. And that's why, even though it can feel a little even uncompassionate to not give advice to somebody who is making poor decisions, it's kind of important to use the principles that we're talking about here and realize, you know, when I give advice, this person tends to do what I tell them not to do. So even though I feel like I should tell them what to do, I'm going to hold my tongue. And there's a good bit of advice that I got from somebody years ago, where somebody is struggling, it's good to kind of ask them explicitly, what is it that you'd like from me? Would you like somebody to listen? Do you need a hug? or do you need some help? And giving your sister that choice, when she talks to you about these things, it's okay to, you want to start by empathizing with her. You know, I see how hard you're working to find somebody that to love you, to have companionship. I think that's a beautiful thing. And I'm so sorry you're having such a hard time with that. Do you just need me to listen right now? Or do you need me to give you a hug?
Yeah, you're not, they're like just a verbal hug, some compassion.
Yeah. Or are you looking for, some help? And she'll probably say, no, I just need you to listen. Or if she does say, yeah, you know what, I'd actually love it if you love your advice. But then the door is open. Right? But if you just say, you know, those people are all scammers. And what she hears is, Anne doesn't think that anybody could love me. And I'll show her. Right. And so we end up accidentally pushing them toward the decision that we're trying to warn them against. So it's not that you don't say anything. It's that you want to, all of you in the family want to be a little more judicious about what you say and how you say it. So, and I think asking that question, what would you like most from me now? Again, empathize first, but then after you do that, what would you like most from me now? Would you just want me to listen? Would you like, you know, some affirmation or a hug, you know, metaphorically speaking? Or are you looking for some advice and help? And really just give her that choice so that she can pull out of that implicit defensive position that she's learned to take with all of you. That's really the best you can do. And it's honestly kind of what God does with us too, right? You know, God could fix everything if we let him, but often we don't. And often we just want to complain to God and he'll let us do that. And sometimes we just ask for God to comfort us and he'll do that. But whenever he asks, whenever we want him to help, he'll do that too. But he respects our free will. And allows us to tell him the level of help that we're ready to receive from him in the hopes that in time we'll learn to trust him more and invite him more into our lives. And we take the same approach with the people that we care about. And I hope that this suggestion will get you started. If there's more that we can do to support you in this, don't hesitate to reach out to us. It's a very serious situation, especially when somebody's dealing with a chronic mental illness. But I think these principles will definitely help you move forward in a clearer way. And if you have any follow-up questions, we're here for you. With that, we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825 on our show titled A Little Help for My Friends. Are you tired of trying to help someone who either won't take your advice, gets defensive or frustrated whenever you try to help them, or, you know, it's just making things worse? Are you in a situation where you are helping somebody and maybe it's even bearing some fruit, but it's sucking up all your energy, and it's keeping you from being able to attend to the things that are important to you? How can we be there for others in ways that don't let us get sucked into the drama and don't burn out? 877-573-7825 is the number to call. In addition to talking with you when we come back, we'll be talking with Anastasia Northrup from the National Catholic Singles Conference. We'll be sharing some insights on the theology of the body about how to love responsibly. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Feeling worn out, overwhelmed, or just plain tired of feeling tired as a parent? Well, you're not alone. Parenting can drain even the most faithful moms and dads, especially at this time of year.
Join us, Dr. Craig and Lisa Popcheck, for a free Ave Maria Radio webinar, Reclaiming the Joy of Parenting, Overcoming Burnout, on Wednesday, March 18th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern.
Get practical, faith-filled tools to recharge your batteries and rediscover the joy of raising Catholic kids. Register now at AveMariaRadio.net.
Steve and Janet Ray here, announcing we are back in the Holy Land, ready to introduce you to our favorite places in the world, the land where God walked. Mass at the most holy sites, pray the mysteries of the rosary where they happened, and experience the Bible in vivid color. We have led over 100 groups through this land, sharing the whole story of salvation. Of all the pilgrimages in all of the world, this is the one you should not miss.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled A Little Help for My Friends. We're talking about those times when we're trying to help someone we care about, whether that's a friend or relative or, you know, somebody in our lives, and it's just not going according to plan. You know, it's making things worse, or they're getting defensive, or we're just getting sucked into the drama. How can we be helpful in ways that are actually helpful? 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Anastasia Northrup. She is the founder and director of the National Catholic Singles Conference, and she's an expert on practical applications of the theology of the body. Anastasia, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you so much. Great to be here with you.
One of the things we've been talking about is that St. John Paul really emphasized the importance of love being responsible. Why do those two things go together, and how can that really help us build healthier, holier relationships?
Sure, yeah. When I first heard the title of his book, Love and Responsibility, I thought, oh gosh, that doesn't sound so romantic, you know? But this was years ago. Anyway, it's an amazing book, fantastic. Anyway, highly recommend. He talks about in there that our love is not measured by the amount of sentiment we feel for another person or, you know, emotion, but the sense of responsibility that we have. And so, you know, when we really love somebody, we want their good, and we feel some kind of responsibility that we want to help them in any way and be that to help achieve that good in their lives. Now, as you were saying on the show, right, sometimes we feel like, oh, we're doing everything we can, but the other person doesn't really want our help, or, you know, maybe we're helping in the wrong way. And so I like the fact that in Love and Responsibility, he also says that, you know, the strength of our love emerges when the person that we love is, you know, showing their weaknesses and we're actually still receiving them and accepting them. And so I think sometimes people just want to feel like they're loved in the midst of their weaknesses. So that is actually part of responsibility, that even if we can't do something that we want to do to help them, or they won't receive our help, we can still love them where they are. Not necessarily condoning everything they do or anything like that, but just be there for them and, you know, be able to love them.
You know, I think I've found, you know, in my own work in counseling and in my personal life as well, that as much as people want solutions to their problems, they want to know that they're persons more than projects first. Mm-hmm. Because nobody wants to be fixed. We want to be loved.
Right.
and so being able to find somebody, you know, be there for somebody, even in the middle of the mistakes they're making or the poor choices they're making, and just say, I love you, and I see what you're going through, and I feel for you, is so much more important than even offering to fix things. And once we do that, sometimes they'll actually let us help them with the thing. But the first step really is finding ways to affirm them as a person instead of a project.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I think this especially comes into play, like you were saying, with family too, you know, you really want to help the person. You think you have the solution, but yeah, sometimes our solution in the meantime is just to be there and love them.
Well, I think that, you know, when you mention family, Anastasia, I think a lot of us have to also look at what is this bringing up in us, right? Because I think when people we're really close to, we really love, we want to make them more into projects, right? It's just a light bulb to be changed. If I can just change out the light bulb, we'll get light again, everything will be fine, because their vulnerability frightens us. You know, if they can be vulnerable, this person we love, then that makes us vulnerable. We have to look at the vulnerability of life. So it's easier to just create a mental list of all the things they should do to change, or all the mental things I should do, or the practical things I should do to change them and fix the situation. But when we love responsibly, when we love as that person is a person and not a project, we are really invited by the Holy Spirit to grow ourselves, aren't we?
Well, absolutely. And sometimes it can be challenging because some the things that we don't like in another person are sometimes things that are our own weaknesses, too. And so, yeah, exactly. You, the Lord wants us all to grow and to become closer to Him. And so I think a great thing during this Lent is to look at the situations and relationships in our lives and say, okay, how are these, you know, challenges from the Lord, or how are these opportunities from the Lord to grow through being vulnerable, through stretching our hearts, you know, through looking at ourselves and remembering that the Lord is compassionate with us too. He's there for us, and He, you know, He wants us to grow, but He's not going to make us fix everything all at once, right? He's waiting for us little bit by little bit.
Amen. Anastasia, I want to thank you for being with us and sharing those additional reflections on love and responsibility and what that really means for our relationships. If folks would like to learn more about your good work, I invite them to go to nationalcatholicsingles.com to learn more about the National Catholic Singles Conference and all the other stuff you've got going on there to support Catholic Singles. That's nationalcatholicsingles.com. And folks, we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. The show today titled A Little Help for My Friends. We're talking about how to be helpful to others in ways that are actually helpful. You know, are you trying to help someone you care about only to find that the situation isn't improving, or that they're getting defensive, or maybe things are even getting worse? How can you convince somebody to accept your help or guidance, or should you even try? And when is it time to step back? Also, how do you deal with the frustration you feel when your efforts to help others aren't working out or are taking up way more time and energy than you really got for it? Let us help you find more effective ways to be helpful today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. We'll be back with more of your questions right after the break.
Hello, friends. Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers here. And I haven't been this excited about an up-and-coming speaker for a long time, Dr. Marcus Peter. Dr. Peter has the gift of combining deep theological insight, wisdom, and knowledge with personal testimony and story in a way that makes the power of the church's teaching and God's love felt deeply in the heart of all who hear him. If you are looking for someone for your next conference, parish mission, or event, look no further than Dr. Marcus Peter.
Visit MarcusBPeter.com to book Dr. Marcus Peter to speak at your event. At the Ave Maria website, you can continue the discussion and education through the Ave Maria Radio's links to social media. Ave Maria Radio has accounts on Facebook, X, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the social media symbols at the top of your screen.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. Feeding 5,000 from a boy's 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, as recorded in John chapter 6, is quite a miracle. Yet the next day, Jesus downplays it in verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Likewise, God's provision of manna to the Israelites in the desert was also a great miracle, yet Jesus similarly downplays it in verse 49. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. Jesus is clearly stating that his Eucharist is greater than both of these amazing miracles, and the Catholic Church absolutely takes him at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Do you feel held back by your inner critic? That little voice whispering, I can't, or I'm not good enough. The spiritual master and doctor of the church, St. Ignatius of Loyola, realized that these disheartening thoughts, which he called desolations, are not from God, especially when they tempt us from becoming who God wants us to be. Consolations, on the other hand, come from the Holy Spirit. These positive thoughts encourage us to trust in God's plan for us. If we want to follow God's plan, we need to quell that inner critic and listen instead to the consoling voice of the Holy Spirit. Here's a practice that can help. First, every day, write down your successes. Did you make someone smile?
Did you exercise despite feeling low? Write it down. Next, write down the strengths or virtues behind those successes. The kindness that brought out that smile, for instance, or the persistence that helped you exercise. Finally, turn your virtues into daily I am statements. I am kind, or I am persistent. Doing so will remind you that your identity flows from the gifts of God's grace, not that inner critic. For one-on-one support on your spiritual journey, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, a little help for my friends. We're talking about those times when we are trying to help someone we care about, but it's not really going according to plan, either because it's not helping them, or they're getting defensive and upset with us, or because it's taken up so much time and energy in our own lives and distracting us from the work that God's really asking us to do. Let's talk about how to be helpful in ways that are actually helpful to them and to us. 877-573-7825. Before we go to our next caller, I wanted to let you know about a way that we can be helpful to you, parents, especially if you're feeling a little burned out these days. Tonight, Wednesday, March 18th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, Lisa and I are hosting Reclaim the Joy of Parenting, Overcoming Burnout. It's a webinar sponsored by Ave Maria Radio, and we're going to help you get some practical tips to get your parenting confidence and joy back. And these are, you know, it's, parenting is tough all the time, but I think in this time of year it's especially difficult when things are a little gloomy and there's less to do, and you just start getting a little bit stir-crazy. So we want to help you reclaim the joy of parenting and help you build a more loving, joyful, connected, caring Catholic family. So join us tonight for the free webinar sponsored by Ave Maria Radio, Reclaiming the Joy of Parenting, Overcoming Burnout. You got to register so we can send you the link, but again, it's absolutely free. So go to AveMariaRadio.net, and you will see the banner for it right there. You can just click on the banner, get all the details, and register for it so we can send you the link tonight. And hope to see you there this evening, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, for the joy of Reclaiming the Joy of Parenting, Overcoming Burnout. With that, we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Daisy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Hi, Daisy. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. I'm here in support of now just my mother, who is aging and showing clear signs of cognitive decline. And there are a number of things that my younger brother and I both agree that she probably shouldn't be doing for herself anymore. But, of course, she feels that her independence is being increasingly curtailed, and it's just very frustrating and, frankly, a little bit scary to, you know, want to respect her. She's an adult. She's not my child. And but sometimes I do. It does seem begins to feel like I'm dealing with a young and stubborn child who no longer recognizes her own limitations and wants to do things that are hazardous. So
now, Daisy, tell me about the things for now, like in the first steps of dealing with this, as you and your brother are making these decisions. What things would you like for her to not be doing?
Well, my younger brother just says she just needs to not be on the internet. You need to take her phone away because she's accidentally signing up for subscriptions that take money, and she's accidentally buying things that she doesn't even mean to buy. And we're what he's most concerned about is that she's going to get scammed. End up in real financial straits. But unfortunately, like a teenager, she's gotten very attached to her phone, and she just really, really gets very defensive about the idea that she shouldn't be on the internet. But the internet is like the Wild West now. I mean,
it is the Wild West now. It can be terrifying. Can would she be willing, in, when she's in like a good place one day, to maybe go to the bank and set up a system where she only has a certain amount of money on a debit card, and that's all she can really access, so that if she does kind of, you know, start paying for something, like just hits a million things on Amazon or something, that it would not put a big dent in her actual life savings? Is there something you can do in that way first, rather than cutting her off from her phone, which is at this point her only entertainment and social support? Can you go sort of through the back door that way?
She refuses to use a debit card. She puts everything on American Express.
Oh, wow. Mercy.
Puts everything on her credit card. And I don't know if you can...
You couldn't change that without her permission. She would have to agree to changing any of those things.
Right.
And unfortunately, unless you're able to get her declared, you know, incompetent in some way, she has the right to, you know, to do these things, and that's a very difficult position to be in. Now, you know, if it had to do with safety issues or those kinds of things, that then you would be able to. Address that a little bit more effectively, because, you know, for example, most counties, actually all counties, have a Department on Aging or an Elder Services Department, and they can have a social worker come and do a safety evaluation or a basic competency evaluation and make recommendations then that would
help.
More
about financial competency at this point. But,
and unfortunately there's not a lot you can do about that at this point, you know, except continue to, you know, gently suggest that she make these changes. I would say, though, that you want to the way to approach it is by asking her, you know, do you see, you know, any, like, how do you make these decisions? Like, how do you know if something is a scam or not? Like, how do you know if something is a good choice or not? And you can even share your own experience. Like, you know, I almost got sucked into this thing because I got this email and it looked really real and I realized blah, such and such, you know.
Even if you have to make it up a little bit. But I'll tell you what, it is
it's so hard
these days, especially with all the AI stuff that looks so real.
And I would kind of share my own experience. So you normalize it. You're not just, she doesn't think you're just telling her that she's crazy or she's decompensating or something. And you're able to say, you know, I almost got sucked into this the other day. And, you know, how would you recognize it? You know, like, being able to come alongside of her that way might be a little more effective than just saying, you know, you can't do this because the internet is Wild West and you're not able to handle it.
The other thing that I would strongly suggest you do is that you and your brother sit down with her every month when that bill comes in, because you want to be able to go over that with her and show her the evidence of what's accidentally happening. And that may give you the ability to then say, hey, Mom, let's switch this off of your American Express. Let's you know, change this, especially if she has any kind of financial advisor, maybe getting that person involved and sitting down with her. And you want to start looking, Megan, for Daisy, for really like backdoor things. So, for example, when my mother was declining cognitively, my sister and my brother-in-law were very concerned about her driving. But she lost her mind if anybody said, maybe you should stop driving, maybe you shouldn't use your car. So my brother-in-law actually went out. My sister kept my mother busy one day, and my brother-in-law went out and took the distributor cap off her car and never told her about it. And just every time she tried to use the car, it just wouldn't start. And she would say to my brother-in-law, oh, you got to get this fixed. And he'd say, oh, I'll get right on that, Mom. And then it would, you know, kind of move down the road.
No, she was in a place of further decline. Than
right, but you want to. What I'm saying is, look for backdoor things that would allow you to change some things up for her. And again, with the rest of it, with the finances, if you look at the actual bill together, look at it possibly with her financial advisor,
then she may
give you permission to handle the whole thing.
But on the front end, I mean, if she won't let you do any of those things, then right now the best way would be to come alongside of her and talk about how easy it is for you to get drawn into some of these scams or, you know, other inadvisable things online. And then ask her, you know, well, how do you tell the difference? You know, can you recognize this? And then try to have a conversation with her, like two friends talking about how crazy the internet is, as opposed to you trying to correct her. That's probably the most you can do right now, unless she lets you do some of the other things that we were suggesting. But at the point where things get a little worse, then you would be able to bring in, like I said, somebody from the Elder Services Department to do an evaluation and get some recommendations from there. I'm sorry I don't have more for you right now, Daisy, but this is where you can start, and if there's more that we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out. And we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Speaking of helping others, one of our great EWTN radio partners needs to hear from you next week. Guadalupe Radio Network, with 48 stations serving Texas, Kansas, New Mexico, Alabama, Florida, Washington, D.C., and Virginia, kicks off their spring share-a-thon on Monday. So make sure to support them if you are in their listening area. But wherever you live, make sure you're supporting your local EWTN radio station with your prayers, but with your dollars as well. Let's help keep EWTN radio on the air so we can keep supporting you in living a more joyful and abundant life. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Proverbs chapter 19, verse 2.
I love this one. Desire, unaided by wisdom, leads one astray. For whomever makes haste with his feet stumbles on the path.
And I think this is a really important verse for us today, because you know, we all desire to help the people that we care about. But if we just act without really reflecting on what do I need to do to bring out the best in them, is there anything I can do to bring out the best in them, and we just kind of charge on ahead out of that desire to help without really considering what we need to do, then we end up tripping over our own 2 feet and making the situation worse for us or for them or for the relationship. So if you are reflecting on this and thinking, well, all right, so I've got this person that I care about that I really like to help, but I'm not sure what to do, let's talk it out together and find those next steps today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls right after this.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hey, Catholic parents, could you use a break? Parenting is hard, especially at this time of year, and burnout can steal the joy right out of family life.
Join us, Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck, on Wednesday, March 18th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern for a free webinar sponsored by Ave Maria Radio titled Reclaiming the Joy of Parenting, Overcoming Burnout.
Discover practical, faith-filled ways to recharge your batteries and reclaim the joy of parenting. Register today at AveMariaRadio.net. Don't miss it. Your family's worth it.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I said to the sisters one day, what do you think you're going to look like in heaven? Oh, some of them had absolutely magnificent ideas. I didn't think of one of them. And so I got desperate because then my turn came. I didn't know what to say. And so in desperation, I said, what do you think I'll wear in heaven? And they all said with one voice, armor!
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today on More to Life, a little help for my friends. We're talking about those times when we're trying to help someone we care about, and it's not quite going according to plan. Is there someone in your life you'd like to help, and you're not sure how to be actually helpful? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk with Megan, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Megan. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Hi. I listen to y'all almost every morning, and I've been wanting to call in, but this really rang true for me because I am a helper. I'm a nurse, I've been married 28 years. We have three kids, two of which have profound autism. And so really they're my projects that my husband has turned into my project. Unfortunately, for the last 20 years, we've been going to couples therapy, individual therapy, trying to help him with his alcohol addiction. And so I have finally decided that I can't fix him. And that I need to put it in God's hands, and I've stepped back out of the marriage. He's no longer living with us since December. But with this Lenten season, there's been a big focus on the prodigal son, especially at Pray 40 on Hallow App, and he keeps, the emotional pressure of, let me move back in, I'm better now, and he did go to outpatient treatment. He, even did a testimony or ACTS retreat. So he's doing like all the right steps, but I just feel like I think he's misunderstanding the prodigal son. I'm not supposed to welcome him back yet, and I don't even know if I should welcome him back ever.
So you say he's doing some things. Like what is he maintaining sobriety?
Is he going to meetings every day? Is he still in counseling?
So he has his individual counseling once a week still. He has his intensive outpatient was 4 days a week for 3 hours, and now it's once a week. And he's still doing that. I don't know, because I used to try to keep tabs on it. Is he drinking? Is he not drinking? I don't know, because he doesn't live with us.
He's been an alcoholic for 20 years now? Is that what you...
We've been struggling for 20 years. I think it's been going on longer. Like when we started dating when we were 22, it was not, we were young and I didn't think anything of it. But then it was like he was always the drunkest one.
This might be a hard question to answer.
To the cab. And so I think it was like it just got progressively worse.
Sure.
This point in time now, in December, he unknowingly spent $14,000 at a strip club because he was so drunk and he doesn't remember. Yeah. And so it's like, I can't.
This isn't only alcohol. This is a lot of really destructive behaviors towards your marriage.
So this might be a little hard to answer, but let me just ask you, if you took your focus off of the treatment stuff that he was doing, if you just focused on the way he related to you and the interactions that he had with you, do you have any sense of how you'd know if he was different, if he was healthy, if he was like other people who weren't addicted? Like how would he be treating you and responding to you and relating to you differently if he was really sober and changed?
I feel like he can be sober for periods of time, and so then I feel like I get tricked. But I feel like now I finally have figured out that he's not really truly taking accountability for his actions.
Right. What would look different?
Like including myself. And so he relies on me for everything. He's like, well, if he were there, it wouldn't have happened.
So that's what you want to be looking for, right? Because the reason I'm asking you that question, and I want you to talk with your counselor more about this, okay? Because it's easy to get tripped up in, well, he's going to meetings now. Well, he's talking to the counselor now. Well, he did the intensive outpatient, so now I need to, and he's had 3 days of sobriety, so now I need to give him a chance, or a month, or whatever, 3 months. You want to look at the stuff that we call being a dry drunk, Okay, and the blaming is one of those things. There are a lot of personality traits and habits that accompany alcoholism that exist even after the person has stopped drinking. The blaming, the charming stuff that then there's no follow through. When you try to hold somebody accountable for something, they act like, you're setting them on fire because they have 3 million reasons why everything they did was perfectly fine, and why are you being so mean? Those kinds of things that you don't see in a healthy person, you need to see changes in those things before you would let him come back. It's not enough to just say, well, he hasn't been drinking for a couple of days or even a month or 6 months or whatever. It has to be, I see that he is a different person in the way he manages stress, in the way he deals with problems, in the way he takes responsibility for himself, in the way he demonstrates the ability to do what he says he's going to do when he says he's going to do it. And I want you to talk with your counselor about identifying more of those relational things that would help you see whether he was actually serious about improving and really turned the corner and would be safe to have around, or if he's just still playing the game, which I suspect he is based on what you just shared with me.
Yeah, everything that you're saying just is so much part of, if I do this, that, and the other thing, if I flip these switches, Megan will take care of me again. She'll get off my back, I'll completely snow her, and she'll take care of me again. And you see it even in narcissistic behavior all the time. What I'd like you to start doing is exactly what Greg is saying, but start making a list, okay? Because you can tell us all the stuff you don't want to see. So write down all the stuff you don't want to see on one side of a piece of paper. On the other side of the piece of paper, say what you would want that's the opposite of that. Take that to your counselor and really work through that so that you can have a very firm foundation of how to discern this.
I want to address one other thing here that you didn't say directly, but you mentioned to our screener that you're kind of feeling guilty about the separation, and you talked about feeling that during the season of Lent and the prodigal son thing. You are standing up for the sacredness of your marriage, even though you're separated right now. And let me explain why I say that. Because marriage is sacred, not just for what it is, but for what it's supposed to do. Marriage is a sacrament of healing. It's meant to help heal the damage that sin has done to our ability to love others the way God wants us to. And so it presumes that you've got two people there who are willing and want to do that work. Now, in your marriage, instead of placing God on the altar of your home, and the two of you working together to figure out what does God want for us and how does God want us to be and what is God calling us to be, your husband for all these years has been forcing you all to put alcohol on that same altar and build a relationship and build a life around what alcohol wants him to do and what alcohol requires of the two of you to be able to continue to live together. And that's idolatry. Right, it's a kind of idolatry, because instead of putting God in that place and the two of you really working hard to respond to God's call to be the couple that he's calling you to be and be the man and the woman that he wants you to be, your husband's really been forcing you to worship at a different altar. And you are now standing up and saying, I'm not going to do that anymore. I want to follow what God wants for us. I want to be the woman that God is calling me to be. I want to be the family that God is calling us to be. And in order for you to do that, you have to get healthy first. And so having him live apart from you right now, you're still married. And you're still doing the work that the sacrament is asking you to do by challenging him to be a healthier, holier man. You're just not letting him put alcohol on the altar of your home where God is supposed to be. And I hope that looking at it that way helps you feel a little differently about this separation, because a lot of times I talk to clients who will say, I just feel so guilty. I'm somehow betraying the sacredness of marriage. No, you're standing up for the sacredness of marriage by insisting that marriage do the work that it's meant to do.
And so by living in the situation you're in now, you're doing two things. You're inviting him into real healing. You're keeping up your relationship with your counselor. You're discerning what you'd need to see from him. You can even let him know that in some ways, but work with your counselor on that because you don't want him to just snow you. And you're inviting him, you're working for his highest good by inviting him to real change and real healing. You're also going to be working, Megan, on your own healing. You've been through a lot for over 2 decades now, and it's worn you down. It's changed your perspective. It's really shifted some things for you that need to be healed so that you can give your best self to God and be your best self because God loves you and wants you to be. So be working on your healing while you let him go work on his.
And again, don't base it on whether he's participating in a program or he's been not drinking for a certain amount of time. Focus with your counselor on what are those relational signs and characterological signs that he's really a different person. Because he's giving up those habits that accompany being a dry drunk.
And they have to be sustained. It can't be for like 3 days.
All right. Thank you for the call. I'm glad you're getting that additional support. But if there's more we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or through CatholicCounselors.com. And that goes for you listeners as well. If you are struggling in your efforts to help someone you care about and you're not sure how to be helpful in ways that are actually helpful, reach out to us. CatholicCounselors.com will help you find a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to transform your life through God's grace.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.